This is the second of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Dent Magic, just north of Flathead Electric Co-op, Highway 2 in Evergreen, to Washington, D.C., and Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. You won't believe this, but this just happened. A 5.5 magnitude earthquake has struck the greater New York City area.
What?
Wow. And I'm talking to my colleagues in New York right now, and one of them said the entire house was shaking. And it's hit the greater New York area and New Jersey region. So we're trying to get more information from the U.S. Geological Service. But nonetheless, kind of startling.
Yeah. Now, in Los Angeles, they build the skyscrapers on like a giant spring or something, so they sway and can recover. I don't know. There's a lot of skyscrapers that are older in New York City.
And they're built on solid bedrock. Ah. And so this is pretty weird. I'm looking at the emails from my colleagues right now. One of them says, I'm in Somerset, New Jersey. I felt it here. Another one says they felt it in Suffolk County, Long Island. The whole house shook. This is really something.
Yikes.
4.8 is what they're saying right now, I guess.
Yeah, we're seeing all different kinds of numbers, but that's a actual earthquake.
And then you've got the subway system in New York, too. It's all supposedly underground, in some of the subway stations, you go down three, perhaps four levels.
Hmm.
So
That's right.
Can you imagine what it would have been like being on the subway when that rumbler hit?
I cannot. I just got a message saying that a friend felt it in Etna, New Hampshire.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's that science guy that... I don't know. I guess David Letterman used to have him on a lot. He said, definitely felt like an earthquake. Jeez. That's the scientific take on it all.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy that's the head of the...
aerospace or something.
Well, he's an aerospace guy, but he's head of the big observatory in New York.
Oh,
okay. That's right.
Yeah.
Felt it on the Upper West Side, 12th floor apartment, entire building shook, New York City. That's the latest I've got.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, I tell you what, Mother Earth sometimes is letting us know that she's not happy.
She's in charge, and she's not happy with us.
Now, it kind of makes you wonder, with the fault lines and everything, have you ever thought about the tremendous weight on the crust of the earth in New York City with all of those high-rises and towers there that weren't there originally, if that puts any kind of a stress or anything on the... Of course, we haven't had a lot of earthquakes in New York.
No. And, I have actually thought about that. Like, you know, you're transferring matter from one location to another. You're not, you know, matter cannot be created or destroyed, et cetera. So you take all these construction materials and you build these huge skyscrapers in New York City. What does that do in terms of the transfer of that sheer weight of matter? You know, it's very,
maybe it's
very
why,
strange.
Yeah. Maybe it's why islands are pushing up in the middle of the ocean.
I don't know. Boy, Linda, I would love to have been a fly on the wall yesterday in the Oval Office when the president was talking to Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oh, whew, wow. You know, Joe Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu have known each other for decades. They have been friends. They have disagreed on a lot of things politically, but they've always had a good working relationship. And yesterday, apparently, Biden let him have it. And that is highly, highly unusual. Biden basically said, look, cut it out. What you're doing in Gaza isn't working. And if we don't see some changes in your approach to eradicating Hamas in terms of granting more humanitarian assistance into the Palestinian civilians huddled in Rafah, for example, opening up more humanitarian corridors, or moving with great earnest and not just slow walking the possibility of a ceasefire, the United States is going to take notice on this, and it will have to. If you don't take action, the United States will, in terms of policy changes. Now, the National Security Council spokesman, John Kirby, told us yesterday at the White House that he was not going to specify what the U.S. policy changes would be. He did, however, say that U.S. support for Israel is unwavering and when it comes to defending itself against Hamas, but clearly there are some disagreements on the methods. So within hours, the Security Council spokesman Kirby also said that the U.S. wanted to see changes in hours and days. And within hours, we saw a commitment from Israel to open up a northern port of entry for relief supplies for Gaza. So that is a step in the right direction to open up another humanitarian aid corridor. But I suspect that the White House says that's good, but that's not enough. And it again hasn't said what the policy changes will be, but one can only imagine that since the U.S. supplies weapons to Israel, it could at some point affect how that operation goes.
Okay, now I wondered, opening up a corridor, how that is different than these World Kitchen volunteers who were traveling that supposedly had communication with Israel. How is it different than what it was when this tragedy hit?
Well, it would be another port of entry, so it's not just one or two, but at least three, four, maybe even five ports of entry. And this tough love phone call that Biden had with Netanyahu comes following the bombing of the missile strike against the World Central Kitchen convoy that was working under the auspices of the Israeli Defense Forces and clearly marked trucks, but were attacked anyway. So, you know, Biden has said that he was saddened and horrified and outraged, and Israel has taken responsibility, saying it was a grave error. But nonetheless, this did trigger this very tough phone call with Bibi Netanyahu, and it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of U.S. policy changes there will be. But keep in mind, the outrage over this is just the tip of the iceberg because of the more than 30,000 Palestinian civilians who have been killed in this Israeli war against Hamas. The U.S. is very quick to point out that Israel, yes, does have a right to defend itself against Hamas, which attacked Israel on October 7th, and has said it will attack Israel again and again and again. But the collateral damage in terms of human lives lost, innocent civilians, has been so exponential that the White House is finally saying, you know, cut it out.
Yeah. Well, we have a tragedy in our own backyard here and in your backyard just across the river in Baltimore. And the president's heading over there today.
The president is heading to the port of Baltimore. He's going to get an aerial viewing. He's going to leave the White House in a couple hours. I'm actually there right now, and I'm going to watch when he lifts off from the South Lawn. And then he's going to view the bridge damage. And when he lands afterward, he is going to meet with state, local, and federal officials about the cleanup operations, about the economic impact of this collapsed bridge in the Port of Baltimore. And he's also going to be meeting privately with the families of the six construction workers who were on the Francis Scott Key Bridge when the cargo ship slammed into that bridge, sending their vehicles plunging into the water. Their bodies have not yet been recovered. Two of them have been recovered, but they have not yet. The other ones have not yet been recovered. So the families are suffering immense pain right now. The president is very well aware of that, and he is going to be meeting with the families privately. He's going to also reiterate his pledge that the federal government will stand by the people of Baltimore as they rebuild and try to recover from this situation. and reopen the Port of Baltimore. But it's a very, very difficult task right now to remove tons of twisted steel from the harbor, from the port. And the container ship that lost power and slammed into the bridge, it's still stuck there, and it's grounded, literally grounded, because of the sheer weight of the steel bridge that collapsed on top of it.
And is that ship still in that deep channel?
It is still in the deep channel, so shallower channels are slowly being opened up, but that still severely handicaps the ability of commerce to get in and out of the Port of Baltimore. And because you have to have a very shallow draft in order to get through a shallow channel, cargo ship is stuck in the deeper part of the channel, and again, because of the sheer weight, not only of the containers that are aboard that ship, but the span of the bridge that has collapsed on top of it, it's basically pinned.
So theoretically, if they get the bridge span that's on the that's on top of the ship out of there, the ship could float out of the channel and be tugged back to port where it would be out of the way.
Theoretically, that could happen, yes, and that is the hope. As for how long that would take, we don't know. And in the meantime, construction workers, commerce in the port, the people who work on the port, unloading and unloading these container ships, and their families and the entire regional economy is being affected by this. And this is one of the things President Biden wants to be briefed on as he continues to pledge that the federal government will help Baltimore every step of the way.
Well, he's taking a little bit of political heat by suggesting that the federal government's going to pay for it to get it done quickly.
Yeah, but, you know, the federal government has paid for disasters like this in other cities and other states. You know, Minneapolis. There was another bridge collapse in Pennsylvania. There were all kinds of situations. You know, people are saying, yeah, we need help. This is an immense situation. And by the way, the bridge is also an interstate highway, and that is the federal government's responsibility. So, but how are the taxpayers going to pay for this? Well, you pay the federal government will do any number of things, but to pay for it up front and then go after the insurance companies, the shipping company, et cetera, to recoup some of that cost. But to wait until all of that happens and not act at all could paralyze regional and national commerce and the U.S. supply chain for years and years if they don't act on it fast.
Linda, Monday, the Congress is due back. What kind of preparations are happening in your place?
Well, you know, Monday is a travel day, so that means they'll come back probably in the afternoon. The Senate and the House will be back Monday and Tuesday. And we do know that usually during a recess, what happens is a massive overhaul of, you know, painting and fixing and reupholstering and you know, all kinds of work that the maintenance people do in record time. If you could only get them to work on your home that fast, you know. And all of that has been going on. They've been, you know, polishing the floors, you know, cleaning every little nook and cranny and every inch of the place, basically giving it a facelift and a spruce up for Congress to return and for the footsteps to echo along the marble floors of the corridors. and it's always an amazing process to see when Congress goes on recess and everybody else springs into action to get everything in order.
Now, well, we know Congressman Ryan Zinke is going to be in Kalispell Monday morning to award some federal funds, and so I'm sure he'll be catching a quick flight back in the afternoon.
Now, what's it like in the halls of Congress as they all return? Do they? Is it like at a convention? Hey, when'd you get in? You know, you ever experienced that?
Yeah, there's going to be. I certainly know that we have a lot of that going on within the press corps because we're like, hey, where were you traveling? Where did they send you? What were you doing? And I'm sure that a lot of the members of the House and the Senate do the same. If they even talk to each other anymore, you know, there's so much bad blood up there that so many of them aren't even friends anymore.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
You are welcome. Hey, have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you from Eclipse Central in Ohio next week.
Okay, right. We're looking forward to that.